The views, opinions, and positions expressed on this radio program are those of the speakers, authors, or other contributors, and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by BBS Radio Network or its affiliates. This broadcast is intended for entertainment purposes only.
Space of genuine and heightened awareness. Miracles manifest. Conscious evolution becomes inevitable, and the revelations to one's spirit becomes revolutionary within the simplicity of its own essence. Awakening then becomes of its aware the destination of such a path when one has answered to the calling, unfolds to reveal the ripening of one's universal truths. The book of positive light, remembrance of the heart.
And now, here is your host for Quantum Mindfulness Radio, Joel Ayala Ayupanya.
Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you so dearly for joining me here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio. A quantum think tank of sorts aimed at focusing upon the energies of love, purity, potentiality, newer paradigms, and newer approaches upon the very truths of our own higher selves, to where then a heightened sense of reality is created once we are made more than able to manifest efficiently our very fields of resonance based upon clarity, simplicity, and authenticity, a sacred space of sorts of quantum potentiality. Now, Quantum Mindfulness Radio broadcasts every other Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the BBS Radio Network. And now, the very topic of main focus for tonight's show aims at the following questions. How do we create the results we truly desire in life? How do we know even to what we ultimately desire for that matter? How are we to take even the very first actual steps to legitimate change? And then how do we create an authentic reality, not only for our own lives individually, but along with the authentic deserving reality for all of humanity collectively? And from what Diane Collins had made mention before, from intonation, from many broadcasts, with 6,000 years of wisdom available at the touch of a smartphone, how is it that we as human beings are still continuing to be unable to answering these very important and dire questions today? Diane Collins is an original thinker, a media personality, and a leading authority in New Worldview thinking. Additionally, she is a popular media guest speaker, and Diane Collins has been interviewed on more than 250 radio and TV shows and is a blogger at the Huffington Post. She has assumed the very role of being the keynote speaker for many public speaking and motivational speaking events at the consumer and corporate level. Diane is also the author and the main authority of her multi-award-winning bestseller, Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. Considered a must-read book for our changing times, a time of quantum leaps of evolution and consciousness. Now, Diane puts it all together within this book, integrating science, philosophy, spirituality, and in drawing on sources from cutting-edge scientific innovations to the wisdom of the world's greatest spiritual leaders made practical in daily life. Now, Diane's work makes it easier and more enjoyable for us to think within her book in sync with our modern age, quantum age, to living happier lives with confidence and in mastery. Thank you, Diane, for joining me here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.
Hello, Joel. It is just such an honor and a pleasure to be with you. I love your show, and I love just the whole resonant field that you hold for the conversations with your guests. So I'm very excited to be here with you and everyone listening.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's an honor for me too, as well. And most definitely for sure, a pleasure. Now, funny to say, Diane, I had purchased your book, and we had made mention of this earlier prior to our recording. And I had purchased your book many months ago around the month of January before the birth of the show in March, Quantum Mindfulness Radio, this show. And the very moment that I had cracked into your book, I was not only intrigued about also being very drawn to your message, as if the book had called out to me in spirit. And I knew from within myself that I had to meet you, perhaps, or even to speak to you, or even to just email you, for that matter. And already it seems, Diane, that we had subconsciously created this resonance, this field of energy for ourselves, right before we had even met in conversation. And so I'm talking to you right now as we speak. How amazing is that?
You know what? It is amazing, but it's normal. It's natural when you're quantum thinking, and you know, as we are, and I'm sure that you're listening as we get more and more into it, because what you realize, Joel, is that, or I like to say, when you understand and you can tune into the power of the five natural faculties of mind, intent, intuition, subtle energy, resonance, and meditation, which I consider a faculty of mind, not just a practice, that, and how they work together. In the introduction, what is it that enables us to create reality? Well, in the quantum age, we know that it's mind-based, it's consciousness-based. And so I like to say it like this, when you realize that we exist in these mind fields, I like to, for fun, call it the thoughtosphere, and that right. When you have a consciously generated intent, which you did, you know, you started reading, you thought, well, I'd like to meet Diane, which I'm very glad you did have that intent, Joel. And then what happens is the intelligence of the field makes the connection. Now, this goes on all the time. So it brings about the circumstances. You know, it reminds me of people used to quote all the time, I think it was from either a poet, Rilke, or I don't remember, or Nietzsche, a philosopher, but it was the quote was about, you know, when you commit to something, then providence steps in. I don't know if you remember that quote. I can't think of who it is.
Right,
but
right,
it's something like that, only more precise. It's more even scientifically and spiritually precise, where this is the nature of the field, is that we will connect to those circumstances. We could call probability wave, we're creating a probability wave field in the context of a universe of infinite possibility. What narrows it down is our own conscious intent. So I was going to say, I like to call it like this. You can be delightfully amazed, but not really surprised when you realize that's how it works, right?
Right.
Those are the creation dynamics. So it's perfect, and the intent will bring about, I use intent and intention differently, intention being the future goal, the measurable result, but intent being an activation of the energy intelligence field that we call our resonance. And that's what you did. And you'll attract many results consistent with your intent. So it's perfect. I love that you told
us that. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. And often at times when people go through these things, and I know many people have the similar stories and different variations and flavors, but when they go through such a synchronistic event such as that, and again, not in the more detailed sense in parallel, but they often kind of shun at it and brush it off as being a coincidental act, when in actuality, it's just the law of the universe just enacting and reenacting itself over and over again. But because, again, which we'll go into later, it's all about awareness as well, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely, because I like to call it, by the way, the physics of mind, because it really is the physics of mind. You know, when you call it the physics of mind, it becomes something, well, law of the universe, you know, that's deep and profound, but it's like it makes it more accessible, and you think, oh, I could learn the physics of mind. And what you're saying about the awareness is key, you know, because the real, what I consider my life's mission thus far, who knows, everything is always evolving, so that could evolve too, but the way I'm seeing it right now is to, my contribution is to have us go from merely knowing the wisdom to actually living it, to being the walking, talking embodiments of it. So that's what quantum think, the system of thinking that's in the book, Do Quantum Think, that's the purpose of it. And so when you talk about awareness, because what happens is the universal laws, they're functioning all the time. So the question is, are we functioning according to the default intents? Because we could have what we call, in our business, my husband is my partner in life and in all things. He's a master quantum think coach, Alan Collins. And we call it an unaware intent, because people may say, well, you know, I had an intent or I created an intention and it didn't come about. And they start to, you know, question these dynamics of mind or these universal laws that quantum physics has been for the past 100 years or so, in particular in the last, you know, 20 to 40, verify the wisdom that has been universally known, we could say, consciously, intuitively, by the great mastery traditions for thousands of years. So these are now merging. So when you look at this, And you start to doubt that, it's like, well, it doesn't work. It didn't work for me. It's not that it doesn't work. It's that you have to be aware, as you're pointing out, Joel, are you functioning? Is what's going on, your resonance? You know, what's in the resonant field? It's always more than one intent. You know, we're complex beings. But is there some underlying belief, assumption, idea, conclusion that you are holding within your resonant field as, quote, the truth? And you know, this is what's important, because the difference between quantum thinking and positive thinking in this sense. Now, it's always good to have positive thoughts. But what I mean by that is that, and let me just put a little context around this, because what I call the great revelation that I had, Joel, is that, like everything in the universe, thinking takes place as a system, within a system. So as much as we like to think of ourselves as independent thinkers and we're free thinkers, in fact, our thinking, even what we're able to think, the extent of what we're able to think, is guided by the system that is guided by the overarching world view. The beliefs, assumptions, ideas about the nature of reality and how it works. So we're in a quantum age. We have expanded knowledge. We have way more up-to-date, accurate knowledge because of the science, because of our spiritual wisdom. Yet our thinking, our patterns and habits of thinking, unwittingly, are still very much under the influence of what I lovingly call the old world view, the industrial age worldview, also known as scientific materialism, because the 17th century, the beginning of rational science, the scientists declared only matter is real. So in our society, in our human culture, this is nothing personal for us, it's cultural, that everything is oriented around the physical five senses. Why do we have, you know, discrimination? We look in the physical, we look separate, we look different. We're not in the experience that of our literal unity. And our thinking is keeping us in that conceptual state. So even those of us who are on a conscious path, who are awakening, who know that the energy cycles are creating an awakening, this new worldview is emerging, and paradoxically, we're the ones who are bringing it about. So it's happening around us, but we're the ones stepping in and having it happen, and it starts with each one of us. So when we look at, you know, why something didn't work, or no, what I was going to say is, these beliefs, the difference between quantum thinking and positive thinking, with that context in mind, is that the old world view taught us, it's in the background, it's not like it's said, that circumstances are fixed. You know, they saw objects before microscopes and everything as solid and fixed and separate from us. And in order to have something happen, you'd have to exert a push or pull force on it, like a cause and effect. The universe is a giant machine. Now, the quantum science says, the universe is not more, it's more like a giant mind than a machine. So exactly. When you look at this and you say, well, quantum think is not about science. It's about how the discoveries of science have shaped the way we think and how we can now use the new discoveries, the quantum principles, to proactively, consciously shape the way we think so that we're thinking more in sync with the way that nature actually works with our mind faculties and being adept and in command and masterful with them. So the difference between positive thinking and quantum thinking is that to the extent that we believe that something is fixed and unchangeable, that's just the way my girlfriend is. That's just the way my mother is. That's just the way my coworker is. That's just the way the politicians are, the government is. That's just the way, you know, these kind of cultural, you know, collective cultural things. There'll always be people dying of hunger. War is just innate in human beings. No, people are prejudiced. That's just the way it is. No, these assumptions are not the truth. The fundamental principle of a quantum worldview is there are no absolute fixed realities other than what you would think of as source, God, divine creator. I'm not talking in that realm. I'm talking about for everyday human beings, the nature of reality is its energy in flux, informed by intelligence, and it's conscious. It's all of the above. And for whatever reason, we as human observers, what we are the focal point, what we hold in consciousness, in our awareness, becomes reality. And the more we focus on something, the more we solidify it, the more we materialize it. What you focus on expands. E equals MC squared. The attention, when we put our attention, we place our energy. The more energy we place on something, the more it becomes mass. But if we want to have a different relationship to our circumstances, to our future, to the people in our lives, to what we attract in our lives, we must first know in every fiber of our being that there is no fixed way that anything is. This is the great news. In every moment, it's an infinite possibility universe. So to the extent that the positive thinking is like putting a positive affirmation or a thought over a negative belief that we are holding as the truth. Whereas quantum thinking is realizing that reality is context dependent. The context from which we choose to live, from which we choose to see our world, a situation, ourselves, another person, that's a conscious choice. And that we have the opportunity in every moment, Joel, to transform our relationship to whatever it is we're holding in our awareness, regardless of how much historical evidence we have to say, no, he really is a jerk. Because, right? That's what we say. Right. No, he's a jerk.
Exactly.
You know? And this is...
Yeah, and just going back to the whole quantum theoretical construct of fields and even morphogenetic fields in parallel to the research of Dr. Rupert Sheldrake, these fields in itself that we create consciously or subconsciously are essentially manifested according to habitual patterns. So like what you had mentioned just a few minutes ago, it is what you persistently feed into that energy, which is this field that we are creating all around us. And from what you had made mention, these mind fields that are created invariably and sequentially at times all around us in our environment. And wouldn't you say, just to provide clarity for our listeners, that these fields in itself unify to what we refer to as consciousness?
Yeah, well, the field is consciousness. Do you quantum think that it's the last principle of the 21, which I call in quantum thing, zero point state, to distinguish it, because I'm not a scientist, from zero point energy, which is the scientific term. And what that means is that zero point energy is the state in which energy fluctuations come to a rest, or they say almost to a rest, because there's always some little bit of fluctuation. Nothing is ever still, completely static and still. But they call it that, at zero point energy. So again, adapting that to our mind, our consciousness, zero point state. And this is a very important aspect of creating, because we are, you could say, simultaneously, we are that unbounded, right? The big mind, right? Let me just say, when I use the word mind, I'm talking about what we hold in consciousness, right? Okay, so we could make a distinction between mind and consciousness, that consciousness is the all-pervasive, infinite field that contains everything that has ever been, is, or will be infinitely, right? There's no limit.
So this is possibilities,
that's
potentiality.
Exactly right. It's the field of possibility. It's the field of potentiality. We are that field. We're in that field. We're a part of that field. And we have access to that field. We're connected to that field. Now we could say mind is the individualized form that we call, we identify with ourselves. So, but the fact is, even what we hold in mind as what I call the immanent self. So the other, that transcendent awareness, the transcendent self, the transcendent awareness. And then we have the role that we play in the worldly sense, in the physical reality, as, the persona we are, the personality we are, the roles we play, the gender, the age, the whatever it is, the ethnicity. All of that is our immanent self. We are simultaneously both of these at the same time. Now, it's the transcendent awareness that enables us to create. So getting back to the zero-point field, you said, isn't that consciousness? Right. I mean, I've heard many scientists and some of your guests even talk about it. No one can really define what is consciousness, but we can say that what we're calling consciousness, I like to call it, it's a live substance creative universe, right? So consciousness is that field, as you say, of potentiality, of possibility. So the idea is that we are creating from what? From that state. When we're in the zero point state, when we are simultaneously in that kind of meditative state where the chatter, 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 click, 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 automaticity of those patterns come to a rest. Quantum mindfulness, right? That's the name of your show.
Right. That exactly.
In that state, I call it like this. We've reduced the noise, the static on the radio of our being.
Right.
As a receiver transmitter, it's like our whole body and everything about it, our mind, body, spirit, all the dimensions that we live in, that we are the transmitter receiver of that infinite intelligence mind field, that consciousness.
Now, Diane, we will continue that thought, because that's leading into my next few questions that will transition us into the next segment of the show. But with only a minute left remaining in the first segment of this broadcast, can you please provide for our listeners your contact information, your websites, and then how we can purchase your inspiring book, Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World.
Of course, I'd love to. My website is diannecollins.com. It's diannecollins.com. It's Diane with two N's, very important, because there's another one who's not me. And everything is on there. There's audio, there's video. My book is on there. It's in hardcover and all ebook editions, but bought in stores or on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million online. But the book is available. You can read about it on my website and click to those online stores. And what else? Oh, and I do want to say that I'm blogging on the Huffington Post, which I started several months ago, and I have a very exciting blog to tell your listeners about when we come back, because I did, this relates to everything we're talking about, and I have to tell everyone what happened with it, Joel.
Oh, yes. I would love to learn and understand more about that, honestly, synchronistically enough. And I'm sure everybody who has not broadcasted their own synchronistic type of experiences, that they would love to hear that, and that would spark, and again, putting that intention out there, that would spark an awakening within inside themselves. And so, and when we return to the show after our station identification break, we will be continuing our conversation with the wisdom-filled, heart-filling, and inspiring Diane Collins on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.
My name is M.A. Carano, experimental philosopher and systems consultant. And you're listening to Quantum Mindfulness Radio, live on PBS. Check me out at www.avatarparadigms.com for your latest metanoetic hookup. Definitely. If it's not mainstream, then you're on PBS.
Hello, my name is Dr. Advij, author of my new book, You're Not Crazy, You're Awakening. And you are listening to Quantum Mindfulness Radio on the BBS Radio Network. And remember, if it's not on mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Hi, this is Tina Saki, best-selling author of My Spirit Is Not Religious, A Guide to Living Your Authentic Life. I help people self-heal by guiding them to release limiting beliefs and patterns so that you can live spiritually open and authentically. And you are listening to Quantum Mindfulness Radio, hosted by Joel Iapunia.
The Book of Positive Light chronicles the story of one's life, his struggles, his defeat, and upon the likes of his own triumphs. How is one to know of one's light unless the one is to know truthfully of his or her own limitations within the darkness? The Book of Positive Light portrays and enshrines the alchemy of one's potentiality and surpassing the limitations and in conjuring the truth to one's capacity to create beyond the leaps and bounds of ultimate manifestation. Douglas Ross Hamilton, author of The Mystery of the Serpent Mound, exclaims, "The Book of Positive Light is a journeyman's guide to grasping the import of acquiring the inner light." Dr. Amelia Kemp, author of her own book, From Psychotherapy to Psychotherapy, raves, "The Book of Positive Light honors the diversity of spiritual traditions and universal truths, as it graciously opens the author to self, as he is more than willing and more than able to teach and is willing to be taught. He uncovers the healer within." To purchase the Book of Positive Light, Remembrance of the Heart, you can visit the book's official website at www.thebookofpositivelight.com. Again, that is www.thebookofpositivelight.com. And so I welcome you back, dear listeners, to Quantum Mindfulness Radio. And I have with me tonight my dear and wonderful friend and the author of her most recent work, Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. Diane Collins, I thank you, Diane, for being here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.
I am so excited and thrilled to be with you. I love our conversation, Joel. And I love that we became friends.
I know. It just feels like, this is essentially within this time, the earthly plane whatsoever, that this is the first time that we have actually met. And it feels as if we were good friends.
Forever, right? Yeah. Now, this is, you know, you brought up before, and this will lead into what I wanted to tell everyone about a blog that I recently wrote that's very important to discuss with everyone who are your listeners and are, I hate to just say listeners because it sounds so different, but everyone in this conversation with us. But, you know, you brought up about Rupert Sheldrake's work, who, of course, I reference also in Do You Quantum Think, and morphogenetic fields. And what the scientists say is that the fields communicate with one another. It's like there's a constant exchange going on in the field. And it's not a linear exchange, meaning they say even, well, we'll get to non-local minefield in a moment, but let's just, the idea of the morphogenetic fields, as far as I understand it, and again, I'm no expert on it, but that forms, okay, let's say the underlying form, we could say, you know, I like to think of it as a geometric or, you know, that subtle form that gives rise to a material form, what we call material form, you know, bodies, you know, what ordinary, everyday, physical, that these forms, similar forms, communicate with one another. And, you know, I always used to look at, I would watch, my husband and I would be sitting in a restaurant, let's say, and I'd see a parent go by with a baby over their shoulder, and then another one, you know, just passing by with holding the baby in their arms. And these babies always connect in with each other, right? Or you see toddlers. It's not only, I think, because of the size of the toddlers, right. You know, like, oh, wow, we're the little people.
Exactly.
What were these big giants walking around us, you know? But it's that there's some kind of connection that I consider that. That's the morphogenetic field, you know. But it's more than that because we're talking about extending to consciousness. So listen to this. So I used to be on, you know, you mentioned I've been like about 300 shows now, but I would always be on the radio and I would be telling people, listen, we need to create a new narrative, you know, in the public domain, you know, not just rely on this narrative that we hear in the media and by the pundits and the politicians. And, you know, and I would refer to us as the consciousness crowd for fun. All my friends and publicists, they'd laugh. They go, oh, yeah, the consciousness right. crowd. I like the consciousness crowd. You know, to take it out of the new exactly. age kind of stuff. So I would always tell our, we have corporate clients as well, and I would say to them over the years, I'd say, look, they'd say, I saw how I could save my company $50 million and these are real figures because there's a major corporations and they're high-level executives. And I saw it a year ago, but the group that is responsible for that area, they're just getting to it today. And I would say to the client, well, if you see something, we're each unique in our perspectives. If you see it, if it's somebody else doesn't, that's the wisdom that's coming through you, then it's up to you to step up and say it, right? Makes
right,
sense?
Exactly.
And so what happened is I kept going on and saying, oh, we need to get a new narrative. And then finally, I realized, oh, hello, Miss Diane. You're the one who has to say it. So that was a little long preface into. I know people will be listening to this beyond time, but I wrote in November of 2014, which at the time of this is not too long ago, and I wrote a blog on the Huffington Post called There's a New Mainstream Out There, and You're Probably Part of It. And then I went into the story that I've been on all these shows, and I'm always listening to like two or three times as many in preparation. And what's going on is there's this underlying, it's like an underground conversation, like this show, Quantum Mindfulness Radio, your show, that why isn't this the mainstream?
Exactly.
And so I made the declaration, and it was beyond. I said, you know, it's not a subculture. It's not, you know, cultural creatives. It's not New Age. It's not liberals. This is what people want. And I identified this as the new consciousness. I mean, the new mainstream that I call the consciousness crowd. So, and what do we want? Well, we want a more enlightened consciousness, right?
Right. Well, Diane.
And it listen to
right,
what happened.
Right. Go ahead.
What happened is this went viral.
Oh.
And in a couple of weeks, it had about nearly 8,000 likes, 2,300 Facebook shares, and it goes on and on, tweets, people commenting on there, oh my God, somebody finally stood up and said it. So I wanted to say that on your show.
Wow.
So that we can, that's pretty
it
exciting,
is, yeah.
Right? And it's still going because people are still sharing it. Because what I've done is just distinguish what's actually going on in a way that we can all, I said, the it's time for the consciousness crowd to come out of the closet,
exactly.
Right?
Right. And people are afraid of doing that, the consciousness crowd. And they know they have to do this just because it's their passion. And I would have to say maybe perhaps their mission to bringing it out. But it's just that that level of barriers that we have to cross in order to become courageous enough, courageous to create newer possibilities and being creative enough in how we can bring this type of questioning and consciousness out to the people who are unaware and, I guess we would say unawakened as well. And by you doing that, that is putting the intention, again, sparking what a lot of many people who are questioning many things out today in society, in their own personal lives, that it is something that it is intriguing, but in the same sense, it is also truthful as well, and bringing out the authenticity of truth that it is often at times that we often question, it is often subsided and hidden from our current conscious awareness, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And you know, it's what you're saying something very important, which is why I wanted to announce this on your show. And I want to say, if you want to read the blog, you can get to it from my website if you click on blog. But the short way is to go to thehuffingtonpost.com, and in the search on the Huffington Post, put in my name, Diane with two N's, C-O-L-L-I-N-S, and you'll see all my blogs, and click on the one, there's a new mainstream, because the reason, and you know, of course I invite everyone to share it, because you read that and read the comments, and you'll be inspired, because what I'm talking about is that this is not some fringe group. These are, you know, lawyers and architects and, you know, you're a psychiatric nurse and physicians and there are people who commented on there who are psychologists and psychiatrists who said, oh yeah, I've seen this over the years in my practice. So we're all want it. We all want it. And we know, you know, the cosmic ordaining of it is that we're here to want it. It's tapping us all on the shoulder. But reading the blog and sharing it, it'll just take you right out of, you'll free yourself from, I don't have to be afraid to discuss these things. And it's not even really discussing, I mean, it includes what we're taught, the kind of things that we're talking about right now. You know, the knowledge, the learnings, the universal laws, the quantum principles, the mindfulness aspects of life. But it's also just being that level of awareness, being in conscious conversations that you and I are having right now. This is what people want. And you can have that with anyone. It doesn't have to be, you know, because that's part of the, you talked about how there's so much, you know, paradox. The quantum world, of course, is full of paradox, you know, where the both and world, where two seeming conflicting things are both true at the same time, both valid. And, you know, when you look at that, I like to think is the idea of eliminating the us and them world, right, is that it's up to us to hold it as unity, as the unified field of humanity. That, and I like to think of it instead of an us and them, that there are, I didn't say us and them, I said us and them, that we are, you know, there are, everyone's awakening, everyone. And some of us are aware that we're awakening, and some of us are not yet aware that we're awakening. But we're all awakening. That's what we're here for. We're here at this stage in the evolution of humanity. The evolution is an evolution in consciousness. This is what your show is all about, right? And this is what our work is all about, and we each play a role in that. And one of the most important roles is to have this be as natural as waking up in the morning.
And get this, Diane, another synchronistic event amongst the many that I've been telling you about. And just the opening and cracking your book right now, and at this very moment, as you had converted to talking about conscious awakening and evolution. So I just cracked open your book, okay, and guess what page it took me to? It took me to page 252. And it was chapter 17, and the title of that chapter is Conscious Evolution. How synchronistic is that?
I knew you were going to say that. And, you know, I'm so glad you just did that. And just read one, whatever your eye went to first, read a couple of lines of it, just to make the point. Because we tell people, this is a great way to use the book, you know. You're thinking about something, you want a message, you'll go right to it. But I want to discuss why that happened.
All right, there you go. It's on the very top of the page right there.
Wake up on your own or buy an alarm.
You choose.
You know, I say we're all evolving. We're all waking up. So what's it going to be? Conscious awakening?
Gorge, rattles.
Or crisis awakening? Now, to a great extent, there's been quite a lot of crisis awakening. And crisis awakenings, we all have some of that in our lives. And those crisis awakenings, you told me about one of yours offline, is that it's all part of the totality of our life story, of our life purpose. Or as I like to think of it as, you know, infinite intelligence gives us all the experiences that we need, the experiences, gifts, traits, talents, proclivities, interests that we require to deliver on our purpose. We all come here with a soulful, worldly purpose. And it's not an accident that we are born in this era, in this time frame of this great shift for humanity. So, you know, one of the most fun things is to find out what you're here for. And that, I have a clue to that in the chapter called The Whole Movement of Purpose. That's one of the quantum think principles, where you distinguish in a very refined way, you get the clues to why you're here. But getting back, crisis awakening or conscious awakening, that we have the opportunity now to choose with the awareness that we're choosing that intent. This is an overall intent for life. Conscious awakening. We are here to consciously evolve. And that is my intent for myself. So we each have, I ask people that in that chapter and along the way, have you yet chosen a life of mastery? If not, what's the alternative? Mediocrity? So anyway, just to be funny, by the way, I wanted to write an entertaining way. I like entertainment. But let's talk about what happened when you opened that book. Because that's the non-local mind field connection. Now, this term non-local mind, it comes from science, but I think the actual term was coined by physician Dr. Larry Dossey, Dossey, who is wonderfully teaching people especially in the medical profession, but to the general public, the importance of intent in healing, what he calls prayer intent. So it's not just mind-body medicine, it's mind-body intent, right. You know? So mind-body consciousness. So anyway, because in my research, I like to give attribution that he came up with the term non-local mind, because the other scientists call this universe, and it's non-local in nature. So what does it mean, non-local mind? It means not located. The mind is not located like what we call an ordinary physical object in space and time and matter, the glass on my table. And it has no temporal, no time-based, nor does it have any, it's, again, not physical in the sense of what we think of as matter. So it's not located. That's non-local. It also means non-local, that mind does not, it's not, even though we experience it this way, it's not located in the body. It's not synonymous with the brain. The mind is this field. And so what does it mean, and why should we care that our minds are non-local in nature? Because that means that our mind can connect
there you go.
Anywhere. Now, intent, right? You had an intent to, well, say what your intent was in opening the book. You had an intent to maybe just get a message in the moment?
Oh, yeah.
Or
I always do that sometimes before or even during an interview. And again, like you said, to get a message. And just the way that we have aligned ourselves consciously and subconsciously and contributing and feeding into that field, that interconnection, that relationship that we are creating for ourselves in our interaction. And that within itself, just turning the page and then you converting the verbiage in the conversation to evolution and conscious awakening, and then turning into that page, it just makes perfect sense that we are validating the sequence of what we were meant to do here, and opening awareness and determining that there was an olden way of doing things, and that there is a new paradigm that you are creating, not only yourself, but many of the like. And with the contribution of your book, it's opening doorways to, again, potentiality, possibilities of a beneficial way that we can change the paradigm of things, right? Wouldn't you say?
That's exactly right. And this is why it's what I consider essential, or what I call, you know, the unofficial mantra of quantum think. When you master your mind, you master your life. And it doesn't mean mind control, right, or force, or it means having a new relationship to the system of thinking. It means having a new relationship to your thoughts and how that occurs in the mind field. But I have to tell you something, that before I go on a show, I always open my book using it the same way, because it's fun,
yeah, right?
This is when you start living with, you know, consciously generating synchronicities. That's what we're doing. With not just waiting, oh my God, that was so cool, I thought of you and you called me, you know. It's using intuition, intent, convert, you know, using subtle energy, tuning into it, understanding how to generate a new resonant field so that you will attract, you know, what you want in life, and all of the above. And so what happened is before the show, and I didn't know what we were going to be focused on, right? We could talk about so many things. I opened my book, and guess what? You opened to page 252, which was the beginning of that chapter, Conscious Evolution.
Right.
I opened to the what I call the quantum sync wave, these one-page, you know, thought waves, the page before it, 251.
Oh,
and guess what it's
called? Cut it out, Diane.
I swear.
No.
Revolution. This is the quantum think wave, and the title of the quantum think wave is Revolutions of Evolution.
Oh, that's my buzzword. I say that all the time. Revolutions, revelations. I mean, it's wow.
Oh, my goodness. So that's what happened. And, you know, I'm getting the chills, the proverbial chills, but the real chills
goosebumps
right now, because it's so fun. You know, now here's the thing. And I really want all of us to just consider this, is that when we look at, you know, because I have in the beginning of Quantum Think is part one, wake up. Why should we quantum think? Okay, you want us to quantum think? Why? You know, and those are all the chapters on what is wisdom, what is mind, what is light, you know, what are the stories we've been brought up with. And part two is live the wisdom. Here, guess what? You can quantum think, you know, and here's, it's really, it's, as I say, it's not like I know something and you don't. It's what I'm doing is what I call in quantum think the art of distinguishing, bringing the new worldview of learning, bringing something into your awareness in the present moment in such a way that it alters your relationship to it. And what you're doing as you read, this is the intent of Do You Quantum Think, the book, is that you are connecting to these principles in yourself, within you. This is in all of us. All I'm doing is presencing it in such a way that you're giving yourself something experiential. You're giving yourself an experiential event, an experiential connection to these principles. That's the method of quantum thinking. That's what has it integrate. So, wait a minute, I forgot what I was going to say about it. Oh, when you look in the world and you realize, and then I say, okay, why should we quantum think? Well, we know that because of our amazing, wonderful technologies, we're in a time where three conditions, the world, everything, the pace of change and transformation is accelerating. The pace of it is going faster and faster, and that's actually the scientists say it's a scientific fact, where we're all experiencing, I don't know if you have, Joel, I'm sure you can tell me, I'm sure you have.
Oh, yes.
Where everything seems like, wait, 2000, and, you know, this year is over, and the next year is beginning. It's like, how did that happen so quick?
Do you think that time in itself is kind of thinning in itself? It's not as broadened as it used to be, to where when you have an intention, and then it takes some time to marinate within the system, and then it manifests from the persistent and habitual patterns that you feed into that intention, which sparks up that level of a potential creation and manifestation. Do you feel that that time in itself is thinning, to where that period of marination is shortening, to where we have to be aware of where we are at in our intentions and consciousness, whether we are at a heart-centered consciousness or we are in the blindfolded type of automatic automaticity, the auto mechanization of the olden world.
Right, Ed. You know, I love that word you use, thinning. Time is thinning. You can really experience that. I love the way you said it, and you know, it truly is, as we think about, you know, what people call the quickening, or, you know, the raising of frequencies, however, whatever language we use to talk about it. But I think what you're saying is a really good point, Joel, because it's that you could look at it like this, and if you say in an everyday language, that the clearer we are, right, the more consciously awakened we are, there's that, you know, clearing away that noise on the radio of the being I talked about earlier, and you've got a clear channel connection. And the manifestations are, you know, and we all both talk to people all the time, they're happening faster for people. And this is all the more reason that we really need to be able to interrupt those automaticities of thinking, that the old worldview, you know, it's nothing personal, to be able to distinguish what I call least action pathways, you know, the way the energy or the thought goes, simply because it's been that route before, that we can just notice them, don't give them any meaning, interrupt them, and then say, okay, what was my intent right now? Because that's when you're living the life of conscious creation. It's not like you have to monitor every thought. But if you notice that your state, your resonance and your state, your feeling tone of your being, those are all synonymous terms, are not giving you the result that you want. You're in a, you know, either feeling low energy or you're actually, you know, like not in a good emotional state. This is why we really need to learn to work with our very own mind faculties. Yes, I totally agree. It's like that time is spinning and the quickening of the manifestation. So it's not to have anyone, not to be afraid of it, but that, you know, hey, this is great. You know, we can get what we want faster. Let's just, you know, get ourselves clearer and clearer. So we have that quickening pace of change. That's number one of the three. The number two condition that we're living in the world today is the increasing complexity, also because of our technologies bringing us together, making shows like this possible, you know, making it easy to become a producer, a writer, a singer, an artist, whatever it is we're doing, to become a blogger, you know, to voice, to give you, put your voice and comments, and the increasing complexity and choice. Well, that can be overwhelming for people when we're still a little bit stuck thinking, how did the old world industrial age view, how did that shape us by thinking in circumstances? I say old world view, circumstance rules, new world view, intent rules. So what does it mean, circumstances? You know, get everything lined up before you make a decision, before you make a move. And you're in kind of that step-by-step linear process, you know, the how-tos of higher consciousness. But there may be nature doesn't actually, that even though that's valid, we're not trading in one for the other. We're extending beyond. We're great at analytical linear thinking. We're masters at it. Now we need to extend and know when is that kind of an analytical how-to steps appropriate and where to apply it, and when is quantum thinking appropriate, because an aspect of quantum thinking to deal with the complexity is to be able to master your relationship with your intuitive faculty. The intuition, when used consciously, will take you directly, like you did with opening the book, and you could do that with any book, not just mine. Mine is good right. to use because exactly. it's for that purpose. But it's like you, I always say I use it shopping. You know, I like fashion. I'm a very, I'm a material girl as well. And so I go into a store. We're all very busy. I don't have time to go up and down the rows. You know, so I create the intent. Take me, okay, higher self, infinite intelligence, my intent. Take me to exactly the place where I'm going to find the perfect dress for, you know, this weekend. And I follow my intuition on it. Or we all do it when we're, you know, should I take this route when we're on the road or should I take that route? And then later on you find out you followed your intuition. And, you know, it's a good thing because the bridge was up and stuck on the other road. So this is how we make it practical. And in many ways, even going on the internet, you know, you're getting in 1,000 emails a day. Which one should you be reading? Well, exactly, this is right. getting a close connection with your intuitive faculty. So that's the second condition. I know we're at the end of the show, so I'll just say the third one. The third one is what I call unfathomable. unfathomable uncertainty.
And so, yes, Diane, this third condition of unfathomable uncertainty will be continued on our next broadcasted show. For we have completely run out of time. But Diane, we have had such a warm and intriguing and such a wonderful and inspiring conversation for the last 60 minutes. And it has been such an honor to having you here on the show.
I love our conversation, Joel. And I love that we became friends.
And so, dear listeners, I have with me tonight the glorious and awe-inspiring Diane Collins, author of Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. The continuation of this wonderful segment will be broadcasted for our next highly anticipated show next time on Quantum Mindfulness Radio. Previous broadcasts, please visit us at Quantum Mindfulness Radio's official website at www.quantummindfulnessradio.com. Again, that is www.quantummindfulnessradio.com. BBSRadio.com. All previous and prior broadcasts are archived at the BBS Radio Network. Please join us every other Monday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the BBS Radio Network. Again, I thank you once more for joining me here tonight on Quantum Mindfulness Radio.